Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond, and I am a minister, spiritual life coach, holistic nutritionist, author, and founder of Redefining You LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. So welcome to the show. If this is your first time joining us, please go to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com, and click on your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can also scroll to the bottom of the page and click on the banner for this week's show, and it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe as well. Be sure to click the notification bell so that you always know what's happening in the now. Again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. So tonight is a special episode because I'm going to be talking about my 2-year wellness journey. Now, some of you may know that back in September of 2021, I started a wellness journey. I was in probably the worst condition of my life and decided to finally take that time. And I picked Labor Day because I wanted to, you know, birth this new person that I wanted to be. I wanted it to be a process. I wanted it to be a labor of love. And so I selected that date to start my journey. And last week made 2 years. And so I wanted to share with you some of the aspects of my journey and to let you know where I am now. So, you know, I'll start at the beginning. You know, I had just gotten back from a mission trip back at the end of August of 2021. And I really came back just simply not feeling a sense of wellness. I had been diagnosed a couple of months prior to going on that trip with spinal stenosis. I had been having some tingling sensations in my legs. And, you know, at first they thought it was possibly sciatica, but it was going down both of my legs. It was like a pins and needles kind of feeling. And it was going down both of my legs. And so they did a thoracic and lumbar MRI, and they determined that I had what is called spinal stenosis. And so, you know, I was a person who before the pandemic would go to exercise. I had a Kaiser nearby my home, and I would go there and I would exercise twice a week. And it was wonderful because it was an opportunity for me to get out and be social with other people who were trying to, you know, get their bodies in shape. And so I was doing a lot of that. And I was exercising on the treadmill in my gym that I have here at my home. And all of a sudden, you know, with the spinal stenosis diagnosis, I was not able to be on a treadmill more than 8 minutes. And some of the exercises that I was doing in the classes that I was attending, I could no longer do. And the classes kind of ended in March of 2020 when the pandemic hit. So I had not been exercising at the level that I was prior. And I just got to a space where I wasn't able to do the activities that I was doing. And some of the weight that I had lost prior to that, I had lost about 40 pounds prior to that because I wanted to be under 200 pounds for my 50th birthday, which would have been in May of 2020. And so, you know, with everything closing and the world shutting down, I wasn't able to exercise the way I wanted to. I touched 199 pounds for a day, the day of my birthday. And then the next day I went right back up the scale and found my way all the way back up to 238 pounds. So I had gained almost 40 pounds back. And so with the diagnosis of the spinal stenosis, like I said, I couldn't exercise the way I was exercising. I would experience that tingling sensation in my legs, and I was told by my doctor that if I experienced that pain, I needed to stop. And so I wasn't able to, do the level of activity that I was doing prior to the pandemic starting, and just went kind of in a little bit of a depression after that point. But shortly thereafter, it was actually almost a year that I was diagnosed with the spinal stenosis, and then had to figure out how I was going to go on this trip and how I was going to be able to move around with this sensation that was going on in my legs. They had talked about possibly doing an epidural where they would put a needle in my back and it would kind of numb the nerves and give me a little bit more mobility. And when I finally looked into it with my insurance, there was going to be almost a $2,000 copay. And I just said to myself, self, are you going to pay $2,000 for somebody to stick a needle in your back? And that was a hard no for me. I was just like, I don't think I'm going to do that. And they said that they would have to do that every 6 months, and there wasn't a guarantee that it would actually numb nerves and give me the relief that I would look for. So it wasn't even guaranteed. So that, like I said, was a hard no for me. And I decided not to do that. And so, I kind of determined that I need to do something about that. But it really came to a head after I came back from Haiti and was not able to do the things that I was doing while I was there. And that just really, put things into perspective for me. One thing that I had to bring with me to my trip to Haiti, and I'll show you for those who are watching, is this stool. It is a telescopic stool. It starts out as a little, almost like a little, it's almost like a little shoulder bag, and you put it over your shoulder and you can carry it. And what it does is it opens up to a stool. So when you pull it, let's see if I can do it. So pull it, turn it, and what it does is it becomes a stool. Okay. And so I was able to sit on this tool, on this stool. So as I was, going along the paths that we would travel and the many miles that we traveled during the course of the day, what would happen is if my legs started to tingle, I would open up my telescopic stool. I would sit on it for a little while until I felt a little relief, because what spinal stenosis does is it causes a little pinch in your spinal column, and that's where the pins and needles feeling comes from. And if it pinches the nerve, and then if you kind of lean forward, then it kind of releases it, and then you can sit back up again, and then it gives you some relief. So every now and then I'll have to sit down until that pinching sensation went away and I was able to walk without that tingling sensation. So like I said, I came back from my trip and just really felt horrible that I wasn't able to get around the way that I was used to getting around. And then, my weight started to affect my quality of life. I was starting to fall asleep at the wheel when I was on my way home from work. And that was something I had never done. I was very lethargic. I was having issues with being able to stay awake. I was having to take naps as soon as I got home from work around 5:30, and then I would be up late at night because I had slept earlier. It just really began to take a toll on my wellness overall. I was getting up, I was sleepy in the morning, I was sleepy in the afternoon, I would start to nod off at work, and that just was not something that I was used to. And so, I finally got to the point where I said, you know what, I need to do something about this because I'm tired of being sick and tired. My blood sugar was going out of control, and I needed to do something because I just didn't want this to be my existence. I have a young grandbaby, and I was like, I want to be able to run around and play with her and do things with her. And I was not going to be able to do that if I was not well. And at the time, she was 3 years old, and I just, said, okay, it's time to do something. And that's when I decided that a change needed to take place. Now, what happened was, shortly after I decided that, I was going to, start a wellness journey, I didn't even know where I was going to start. I was like, I don't even know where to begin. And it just so happened that I received a phone call from a friend who I had not spoken to or seen in years. She was someone who I had met at a conference, well, a networking conference many, many years ago. And she just reached out to me and she was just like, hey, Kim, I was just reaching out to see how you're doing and was curious to know if, you're looking to make some changes regarding your health. I said to myself, my goodness, how in the world does she know that, I was looking to start, this wellness journey? And, she just said, I'm involved in this program and I just wanted to, I'm reaching out to people who I haven't reached out to in a long time and just asking them how they're feeling, and how their health is. And she was like, yeah, I just want to ask you a few questions. And after speaking with her, she told me about a program called Optavia. And that's a program where you eat processed food. It's like it's their bars, and you take them during the course of the day, and and they provide protein, and then you have a sensible meal. So you choose the program that's best for you. And the program that I chose was one where I would eat the bars for breakfast and for lunch, and then I would have a sensible dinner. And I liked the program because it provided portability. I travel a lot for work, and so I was able to just throw the bars in the bag and then, have my sensible dinner at the end of the day. And that was just something that I can do. Now, at first, when she told me about the program and she told me about the cost, I was like, no, I don't think that's in my budget to do. It was a little pricey, and I said, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. And I thanked her. And then I sat and I, looked at my budget and saw how much money I was spending in buying takeout and other types of food, the groceries and everything else that I was buying, and just determined that the money that I would be spending on this program would be less than what I was spending on a monthly basis for the food that I was buying either from the grocery store and from eating out combined. So I decided to call her back and I started the program. And at that point, I was like, okay, this is where I'm going to start from. I started looking, looking into what I could do with regards to movement because I knew that was going to be important for me to exercise while I was doing this program as well. And when I spoke to my girlfriend, she said, well, at the beginning of the program, they tell you not to exercise. So, he said, don't exercise like for the first 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. And I said, okay, I'll wait. But in that process, I said, okay, I need to figure out what am I going to do when I can start activity again. And so that's when I started going online and looking into chair exercising. And I had an opportunity to meet with a physical therapist shortly after my diagnosis, and they had a machine there that I was able to ride on, and it was called a recumbent elliptical bike. So it's kind of like an elliptical machine, but it's a seated one, and it's that same kind of sliding motion or gliding motion. So it's not like you're pedaling like you would on a bike, on a stationary bike. It's more of that elliptical sliding back and forth kind of motion. And so that machine I really liked. And I was like, okay, that's something that I can possibly have at home and use for my, in place of my treadmill. And so I began researching that elliptical recumbent bike. And the one that they were using at the physical therapist were over, they were between $2,000 and $4,000. And I was like, there's no way I don't have that kind of money to spend. So I started looking into some other types of equipment. I went on Amazon like everybody does because I'm Prime. And I went on Amazon, and I was looking at the recumbent bikes that they had on there, and people were talking about the pedals breaking and all kinds of things like that. And I was like, okay, there has to be some middle ground somewhere here. So what I did was I did find a company, they don't pay me, but they're called Teeter, and went into looking into a recumbent bike through that company and found one that was reasonably priced, and I was able to finance it. And that's the tool that I've been using ever since. And so now at least I had some form of exercise that I was going to be able to do that was seated, that was going to give me relief, that was going to be easier on my joints. And so I was like, okay, now things are starting to come together. So I began the program again on Labor Day of 2021, and went through the program for almost a year. I went through the program for 9 months, and in that 9 months, I had lost over 40 pounds, I believe, at that time. 40 pounds, no, then I got close, no. I had gotten to 40 pounds, and then I continued in the program until I got to 50 pounds. So I went through the program for, a little over 9 months and had lost 50 pounds. Now, this was huge for me because it was the first time since I was 17 years old that I was under 200 pounds. Now, the one thing that I didn't know, and for those who are looking to start a wellness journey, is, or the one thing I didn't consider, let me put it that way, was that, what happens when you actually lose the weight you're looking to lose? And there are many of us who say, the beginning of every year, I'm going to lose this weight, I'm going to do this and that. And somewhere in the back of our mind, we never really lose the weight, or we go back and forth, or we start out strong and then we kind of fall off. And then, we begin eating and falling back into old habits, and we don't quite lose the weight that we wanted to, or we lose it and then we get comfortable and then we start eating again and we wind up gaining back that same weight or even more. And so, I didn't take into consideration what would happen if I actually lost the weight, because I have always been overweight. I have never been underweight in my adult life. So for me, there was no point of reference. I couldn't say, well, I want to be this particular weight. I didn't have a goal weight in mind because I just was like, I just want to be under 200 pounds. That was all I wanted to do because I had never experienced that. So I was just excited that, okay, that was my goal. I didn't, like I said, I didn't have a point of reference. I can't say back in the 80s when I was in high school and I was a cheerleader, I was small and I looked like this and I'm going to look like that again. I didn't have a point of reference. So I went with just as long as I'm under 200 pounds, I'm good. And so, like I said earlier, I had touched under 200 pounds for a day and then coasted right back up the scale again. And so, I just didn't think that it was going to be possible for me to lose the weight and be able to keep it off. But with this program, it worked. I had actually lost 50 pounds, and I didn't take into consideration what I would do when I reached that goal. So I got there and was like, uh-oh, I'm under 200 pounds. Uh-oh, I didn't plan for what I would do when I got there or how I would maintain it. And that was, that was a really big thing that I should have considered, because now I'm looking at my clothes and my clothes are not fitting. And I'm looking at my shoes and my shoes are not fitting because my feet are not as wide as they were. My jewelry started sliding off, my rings, all these things started sliding off. And I was like, okay. I was like, oh, well, if my clothes get a little small, I just put a belt on it. Can't put a belt on because I went from a size 22 to the size that I am now, which is a size 12. That's a lot of weight. And so what happened was I didn't take into consideration the expense that it would be to replace the clothes that I had that no longer fit. So that's something that you need to take into consideration when you're doing your wellness journey. You know, everyone talks about, oh, well, you know, what's your why? My why was that, you know, like I said, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of not feeling well and wanting to be able to run around and you know, do fun things with my grandbaby. I wanted to be able to do those things. I wanted to be under 200 pounds. That was my why, because I wanted to have a sense of wellness. Okay, and what I learned in that process is that, okay, yes, you can say what your why is, and then you need to start talking. You know, we talk about positive self-talk. I needed to start talking to myself, saying, okay, when I reach my goal, these are some things I need to consider. What am I going to do when my clothes don't fit anymore? I had not considered that. What am I going to do when I reach that goal? How am I going to maintain that? I didn't consider that. You know, I was just like, okay, eat the food, do the exercises, you know, and I started to see the weight coming off and I was excited about that, but still never looked at the end goal, never looked at what happens when I get there. You know, I was happy to see the numbers go down, but then I still, while the numbers were going down, I still didn't consider what do I do when I reach my goal? How do I stop? You know, I'm going down this hill and I'm going down fast and everything is going great. But what happens when I get there? Where's my brakes? Am I just going to keep rolling? What? I had not considered any of that. And so what happened was I lost that 50 pounds. I now had 25 contractor bags full of clothes because my rotation on clothes was strong. I had closets here in my home where, you know, I had seasonal closets. You know, I had my winter clothes and I would bring out my spring clothes and my summer clothes and all of that. So I had a lot of clothes. I had a lot of shoes too. And so now I had all of these clothes that no longer fit and no budget to replace those clothes. So people who know me know that this is where Goodwill, which I fondly call the GW, became my best friend because I knew that I wasn't quite where I wanted to be. You know, as I was going down, and now I had to consider, you know, what was a weight that I wanted to get to. And so Goodwill became my friend. I started replacing my clothes with clothes that I got from Goodwill because I didn't have money to buy a whole new wardrobe and not to the magnitude of the wardrobe that I had. And now, not only did I have to replace my clothes, I had to replace my shoes. Then I had to also look at my style because what looked good on me when I was 238 pounds did not look so good on the 176 pounds that I eventually came down to. And so now I was like, okay, what do I do? Y'all, you have to consider so many other things when you lose weight. Because not only was it a physical thing, it became a mental and a psychological thing. And that's when I finally understood what it meant or why people who had gastric bypass and other types of surgery had to go through a psychological before they had the surgery done. Because it was not just a physical thing, it was a mental thing as well. And it became a financial thing. So it was a lot. It was a lot to consider. So, like I said, I had to replace my wardrobe. I had to think about, okay, I'm losing this weight. Where do I want to go? What's my destination? It's like hopping in a car and just saying, I'm just going to keep on driving until I get to where I'm going. Where am I going? If you don't put anything in that GPS, how do you know where you're going? I didn't know where I was going. So I began looking at charts and saying, okay, for my height, and my age, what, where should I be weight wise? And it said, when I started doing the research, a lot of the charts were saying that I should be at 168 pounds. So I made 168 pounds my goal weight. And then I said, once I get there and see how my body is, then I'll know whether I need to just tone, whether I need to stay there and maintain. I needed to figure out where I needed to go from there. So 168 pounds became my goal weight. Now, I got all the way down. I got from 238 pounds to 176 pounds. So I lost 62 pounds altogether, 8 pounds from my goal weight. And I kind of hovered there. And since then, I've gone up and down a little bit, maintaining, but I'll get to that in just a moment. But I, at least had a goal in mind. I had a destination. I now had a way of replacing some of the clothes that no longer fit. Then I began to look at my body and in this new face that was so different from the fluffy face that I had. And again, like I said, it became a psychological thing. And I was like, okay, so now I'm not looking like the same person that I was, and I'm not wearing the clothes that I was wearing. And it really began to take a little bit of a toll on me because now this person that I worked so hard to accept and fall in love with, this full-figured me, was no longer there. And so now I'm sitting here trying to adjust to this new face and this new body that I'm looking at, and this incredible amount of sagging skin that was in my abdominal area. So a lot of things began to happen. You see people in pictures and they show you their before and their after, and you're just like, wow, that's great. But you never see the journey that happens in between, the psychological things that happen. And now I see why people who, like I said, have gastric bypass surgery and other types, lap band and other types of surgeries done. And then they look at themselves and they don't recognize themselves, or they feel that they look like, a crackhead, or they look sick. They look sickly. They're concerned that they don't look the way they used to look, or they like their old face and now it's this new face that they're looking at and they don't like it. And some people go back to, gaining weight because they don't like how they look. And so it is a psychological thing that takes place when you lose the weight. It's not just a physical thing. You don't just pop up one day and you're this new person. All of a sudden, you're excited and thrilled about it. You're happy that you're feeling healthier and that you're having the energy that you want. But at the same time, you have to make the adjustment to this new person that you're seeing in the mirror every day and figuring out what your new style is because it's not what your old style was. I was no longer shopping in the same sections that I was shopping in before. And that takes a toll on you. Okay. The one thing that I said earlier, I said that I lost the 50 pounds with Optavia. I eventually stopped that program. And for me, I stopped that program because I got to the realization that, yes, it was doing what it needed to do. That was the one thing that I did have in mind. I said, I don't think that I want to eat packaged food for the rest of my life. I want to eat real food. I see people who are vegetarians and vegans and people who are eating, whole foods. And I said, I don't want to live my life eating out of a box. And that's not to knock the program because the program definitely helped me to get to the place that I am today. And I'm grateful, but I knew that I didn't want to continue to eat food that I consider processed. Now, some will argue on that, and that's a debate for another time. But I wanted to go to eating whole food and regular food because, like I said, it's not just, a physical change, it's a lifestyle change. And I was like, I need to eat better or learn how to eat whole foods and learn how to adjust, when I don't have access to that food. And the other thing that I was concerned about is what happens if I were to lose my job and something was happening and I wasn't able to afford, the foods that I was purchasing throughout the year. What was I going to do? And so, I took those things into consideration, and I eventually stopped the program and just began to look at other ways to eat and to get the nutrition and get the nutrients and the protein that I needed. And I ran into yet another friend who I had met at a networking event some years ago, and she introduced me to the Simple Fat Burn program. And that's where you are also counting your calories. I mean, not counting your calories, you're logging your food. And that was something that became a huge part of my life as well, logging my food. My fitness pal became my best friend, logging my food and seeing how I was eating and what I was eating and how many calories I was taking in and how many net carbs I was taking in. And that became the next phase of my weight loss journey. I started counting my net carbs and seeing and being introduced to having more protein in each one of my meals. And so my eating habits changed. And with that came a little bit of a fluctuation in my weight. But that was what ultimately helped me to lose the last 12 pounds that I was losing to get to that 62 pounds that I lost altogether so far. And so again, I had gotten to the point where I was 8 pounds from my goal weight. To this day, to today, I still have not reached my goal weight because I had a little bit of a setback in December of last year. Like I mentioned, I had lost a considerable amount of weight and I had some excess skin on my abdomen and on my abdominal area. So much so that it was making an audible noise when I walked. You could hear the skin flapping on my abdomen. And so I spoke to my doctor who put me in contact with a plastic surgeon. I spoke to my pain doctor with regards to my spinal stenosis, and it was determined that I needed to have a poliquilectomy and an abdominoplasty to have the excess skin removed from my abdomen. So back in December of last year, I had an abdominoplasty and a poliquilectomy. So I had 8 pounds of skin that was removed from my abdomen. So to this day, I am 9 months post-op, and I am doing extremely well, healing extremely well. And they took that skin off. And that was going to help with my spinal stenosis. I was able to get a portion of that covered by my insurance because it was considered a medical procedure. The other portion of it was considered cosmetic, but they were able to do that. And those who are interested can always, contact me and I'll tell them more about that. And what happened was that skin was removed. Like I said, it was a healing process. I wasn't able to exercise and tone and do a lot of the strength training that was necessary. And with that, let me stop for a minute and say that those of you who are on your wellness journey who are eating as well, make sure that you are strength training. Okay. I am 53 years old. I had a lot of excess skin because I was doing exercise, but I was doing predominantly cardio. I was doing a lot of cardio. And I was told by my physician that, oh, no. You need to do strength training. You need to strengthen your muscles. You need to tone your muscles, your abdominal muscles. You need to strength train. You're not going to look like you're competing for, to be an Iron Man or an Iron Woman. It's going to help you to tone. It's going to help you to tighten your skin and your muscles and your body as you are aging. So this surgery that I had, this abdominoplasty and this poliquilectomy, is something that they typically do for, those who are mommies. They consider it a mommy tummy tuck, and at least the abdominoplasty portion. And a lot of people get that done in their, late 20s, 30s, even late 30s, but you don't see too many people in their 50s having this procedure done. And so I had to take that into consideration, any risks that were going to be involved, and know that the healing process was going to take a little longer than the average healing process. So I am still in the healing process, even though I am 9 months post-op. They say it could take anywhere from 6 months to a year to a year and a half for me to be fully recovered from my surgery. But it was necessary. It has helped with my quality of life. And I'm seeing portions of my body that I've never seen before. But one thing that I wanted to share with regards to that surgery is that the night before, I had a little moment of remorse. And some of you may say, why would you have any remorse about that? The reason why I had remorse is because it was the final step in removing a portion of the me that, like I said, I fell in love with, the full-figured me. My stomach had been sitting on my lap for 30 plus years, and now it was going to be removed. So I was going to be seeing portions of my body that I had never seen before. And again, like I said, it took so long for me to love and accept the full-figured me. And now I'm looking at this person who looks completely strange to me. And I always tell people, and they chuckle when I say it, I look exactly like my daddy with hair. And if it wasn't for that fact, I wouldn't recognize myself. I look just like my dad. And so, that kind of gave me a little bit of comfort because I was like, even though I don't look like myself, I look more and more like my dad. I looked like my dad before, but I look even more like my dad now. And so that, that kind of gave me a little bit of comfort. But it's difficult when you lose a considerable amount of weight and all of a sudden you look in the mirror and you don't recognize yourself. You look a little different. Your face doesn't look the same. You look at old pictures of yourself and now you're like, okay, you feel like you've lost a friend. I felt like I lost a part of me. And I was losing a part of me. I lost a part of me mentally, and now I was losing a part of me physically. And I was like, what am I going to do? And so that was a challenge for me. And I had to get into a certain mindset and say, okay, this is who I am now. This is who I'm going to be now. And I have to accept that and begin to establish a relationship with this better version of myself. I'm still Kim on the inside. Okay, but now I've got a different shell, a different casing, so to speak. And now I have to figure out how to navigate or how to move in this new body that I'm in. And so that took a lot. I'm still working through that process. It's not something that happens overnight. Like we said, we call it a journey because it's a process. Okay, so like I said, I've gotten to a place where I have accepted who I am. I'm learning my new style. I'm getting comfortable with myself. I'm doing things that are outside of the ordinary for me. One thing, well, two or three things that I've done in this, since this journey began for me is I rode a horse for the first time last year with my grandbaby. I had never been on a horse because I always felt that I was too big to be on a horse. And I'm going to break the horse's back, so I'm not going to get on the horse. So I would not get on the horse. And so I rode a horse for the first time. Last year, I went to St. Martin to celebrate my parents' 55th wedding anniversary, and I actually snorkeled. I got out of the water. I put on little fins. I got in the water and I snorkeled. It was phenomenal. This year, for my birthday, I went parasailing. My husband and I went parasailing. We went off of that speedboat into the air 400 feet, and we were up there having the time of our lives. So I've done things that I had never thought that I would be able to do. And now here I am doing them. Okay. The biggest thing that I did of late, and that was just a less than a month ago, is I went to a spa that was a Korean-based spa, and I had to be completely nude in a certain area of that spa with other women. This was the first time I had ever been anywhere publicly where I had to be completely nude. Okay, people, bucket naked. Okay. I had to, no clothes. You had to go in, take your shoes off. They gave you a locker. You had to take your clothes off. Then you had to go and shower. And then you had an opportunity to go into three different types of whirlpool spas. And you were able to go in those. You were able to go into, the little areas where you can either have a massage or you can go and have a hip bath done. And or you can go into the saunas that they had available, and you had to do those things completely new. This was so far out of my comfort zone, but it was the first time in my life that I was able to walk around and was not concerned about what anybody else looked like, wasn't making any comparisons to myself with every scar, every scrapes, everything. Everybody saw everything. I met a girlfriend there for her birthday, and I hadn't seen her in a while, and now here was she was seeing all of me, everything. And it was the most liberating experience of my life. I don't have anything to compare it to date, because I was just out there. I was out there. It was just me with nothing to buffet anything. And my thought while I was in there was that I'm just in here with a bunch of girls. We're just a bunch of girls in the pool. It didn't have anything to do with who had on red bottom shoes, who was wearing Louis Vuitton, whose hair was a certain way, who had on nails, who had on anything. The only thing that differentiated us was the color of our skin and the tattoos that we had. Other than that, we were a bunch of girls in the pool. And I enjoyed it. I didn't think about anybody else who was in it. We were having wonderful, meaningful conversations with those who I met up with. And it was a wonderful experience. So, with this journey, I've learned to do things that I've never thought were possible. They were possible back then, but they weren't possible in my eyes because I had put limitations on myself. And so, again, like I said, this journey has not just been a physical journey, it has been a mental journey and has been a spiritual one as well. Okay, so when you think about your wellness journey, it's not just, like I said, the physical. I have some mental, things that I've had to conquer and overcome. There are some things that I'm still working through. Okay, like I said, I have not made it to my goal weight yet, although I am close. I had some setbacks when I had the surgery. I still have swelling. I still have healing, things that are going on. So my weight is going to fluctuate. I've learned in that process that the scale is not everything. I've learned a whole lot since I started this wellness journey. So much so that even in the beginning of the show, I mentioned that I am a holistic nutritionist. I received that certification a few months ago because I felt that it was necessary for me to understand what goes in my mouth, what it does when it gets into my body, how my body processes it, and what's going to be best for me. So that's been a part of the journey as well, educating myself. And not just going based on what a coach or what someone else has told me, but I have gone based on the fact that, I now understand what it means, what food means, and that food is fuel, and what it does to help me to be able to do the activities that I need to do during the course of the day. What exercise, some cardio, but a lot of strength training does to help me to tone and strengthen my body. So there's so much that I have learned along the way in this journey. And my goal is to continue to share different aspects of that with you all as you're going through your journey. So I know I have rattled on and have talked about different aspects of this because there are so many different, things that have taken place. And it's far too much to talk about in just an hour. So There will be additional shows where I'll be talking about specific aspects of my journey, but please, please make sure that you ask me anything that you need to know or that you want to know about this journey and how I'm doing so far. So, like I said, it's been 2 years, but they have been 2 years of learning, of growth, of better health, of being a better version of myself. And that's something that I want, not just for myself, but for others who are sick and tired of being sick and tired as well. And so one thing that I will be doing, or one thing that I have started, is another branch of my business, and it is called Spirit Body Transformation. And Spirit Body Transformation is my health and wellness awareness coaching. And I will be coaching those who are looking to start the journey as I did. And so I will be putting that information in the information that I post with the show when it airs, so that way you'll be able to get in contact with me and do a power hour session with me, where we'll talk about some of the things that you're seeking to do in your wellness journey and how we can get you on the path to being the best version of yourself. And again, like I said, it's not just the physical, it's the mental and the spiritual as well. So we'll be talking about all of that. So I hope that this has been informative. I hope that, you've enjoyed going through this small portion of my journey with me. There's definitely more to come. And as I grow and I learn, what I know now may be a little different 2 months from now, maybe different a year from now. But whatever it is, I plan to share it with you. So be looking out for more shows that I'll be talking about wellness in different capacities. And know that you're not on this journey by yourself. We're here to hold each other accountable. I'm going to continue to provide platforms to share information with you about how we're living in the now, how I'm living in the now, how things have changed for me since I started on my wellness journey. And again, I hope that you'll join me in that journey and that you'll do what's best for you. And with that, I will thank you all for taking time out of your schedules to spend with me and to hear about what's been going on in my journey. And I look forward to sharing many, many more experiences to come. So thanks again for joining me. Make sure that you like, follow, share, and subscribe on the How Now YouTube channel. And make sure that you go to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com, and you will have information that will take you to the coaching aspect of my business, which is Spirit Body Transformation. You'll have all that information there as well, so that way you can sign up for your power hour with me. So I look forward to all that is to come. And until I see you guys next time, I say peace.